In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing about St. Thomas. O good unbelief of St. Thomas, for you have led the faithful to knowledge. Given the understanding that we have of the Christian faith, from having grown up in this country in the 20th and 21st century, there is virtually no way that we can understand the passages that we've just read. We would plug what we're hearing in the gospel into a way of understanding and thinking about belief that is not what's going on in these passages. Thomas was faithful to the Christ that he had known, that he had been with throughout his life. He knew the man, the one that Peter had recognized as the Messiah, the Son of God. He knew the man in the flesh. He was not willing to accept some kind of vision, some kind of immaterial substitute. It had to be the real one that he had known. And we praise Thomas because it is absolutely necessary for our own lives as Christians that we have the kind of faith that Thomas makes explicit. He puts it into words that recognize Jesus the Christ as God. God. When Thomas was able to touch him, he knew more than had been put into words ever before. My Lord and my God. This Orthodox understand as something new that Thomas has said. What Thomas is saying after he touches Christ is, I believe that you are God incarnate, who died, trampled down death, arose from the dead, and now I can touch you. Now this is something new. The risen Christ is something new. It's not prophesied in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is what is new in the New Testament. And the life that is new that Christians can lead is possible because of what Thomas knows when he touches Christ. When we sing that the faithful can have knowledge of God, there is so much in these words. In other words, to know God, to know Christ, to have knowledge of him, the kind of knowledge that St. Thomas had when he touched the risen Christ, we say that is possible. We say, in fact, that it is essential. Now that knowledge we share, we hold together in the church. The saints have the experience of God through the risen Christ, the incarnate, risen, and ascended Christ. They have that knowledge of God. It is a knowledge that because Christ has done what he has done, it is possible for us to do what he has done. You know, oftentimes when I hear that expression, what would Jesus do? I reply by saying, he would die on the cross. He would descend into hell. He would arise from death. And he would ascend and sit at the right hand of the Father. That's what Jesus would do. In order to point out that the New Testament is not some kind of a source for little tips as to how to live your life. Basically a secular life in the world. The new life that Christ brings is dependent on our following Christ and doing what he did. Trampling down death in our own lives. Arising from that and living in a way that was not possible before Christ. When Jesus first came, when Thomas wasn't there, that's when he gave the apostles the power to bind and loose. The power to forgive sins or say this sin is not forgiven because there is not repentance. There is not a return to the life in common that we can live in Christ, this new life that God made possible by coming into the world, trampling down death, arising from the dead, bringing his apostles into a shared life with his own. The sacrament of confession has one purpose. When we do something that separates us from that shared life with God through Christ, along with the Theotokos and all of the saints and all of those who are maintaining oneness and communion with God by trampling down death and arising from the forces and powers of death within ourselves, when we slip and we fall into sin and miss the mark by not trampling down death within ourselves, then we are cut off and separated from all the rest. And confession is how we return to that common, new, shared life that St. Thomas is witnessing the reality of when he recognizes Jesus the Christ as Lord and God, fully man, giving us a new life, opening a path for us so that we can do the same thing that he did. This is essential. It is the Christian life. It's the whole purpose for God's incarnation, to make it possible for us to trample down death by deaths within ourselves, deaths of our vanity, our ego, our pride, our love of the things of the world, more than life. That's what it means to live the life of a Christian. I remember the time at seminary when I realized how much easier it is to keep the fast than to keep the feast. Because keeping the feast of Pascha means living this new life. We prepared through a kind of spiritual boot camp that 40 days. We encountered Christ during Holy Week and Pascha, and we touch him and know him. Unless we have some kind of version of Christianity of our own, where belief only means something that happens in my head, where I interpret all of the things that I read and I hear in order to give me a source of strength so that I can go off on my own, that's a missing of the mark, incidentally, already, and live a understanding of the Christian faith where it's a matter of my coming to confession because I feel impure. I fall short of the mark. I understand all of this conversation taking a place in complete isolation. No concern about the fact that we have done something that has cut us off from all of the others. Because that's the nature of confession. That's the nature of our communion. It is for us to maintain communion with God through Christ, through the Theotokos, through all of the saints, and through all of our brothers and sisters who are engaged in following the same path. This is a path of salvation that we do together. When we say Christ is risen, we say all of us together. Christ is risen. And we emphasize that this is my life. This is the new life that was being talked about in the Acts of the Apostles this morning. Go out and tell them about the new life. It has nothing to do with modern radical individualism. Absolutely nothing to do with it at all. We don't have to worry about losing who we are as individuals. We're stuck with it. We're created as the particular people that we are. We don't need to worry about that. What we need to worry about is using ourselves, using our life, in order to present Christ to others in the world. Metropolitan Anthony of Sorrows says that Christ has trampled down death everywhere except in the human heart. It is for each one of us to trample down death in our own heart. That's not something that is handed to us. I know I'm going to go and I'm going to see this play next Friday. And I've heard that there are missionaries that are taking part, luminaries, you know, visiting, coming back from their missionary labors, and they are going to witness. I dread it. Are you saved? What am I going to tell them? That way of understanding the Christian faith is like someone standing on the shore who believes that they're okay and other people are in trouble. I'm saved. That's their idea. You be saved too. All you have to do is say, I believe. And here you are on the shore. Like that. That's their understanding of salvation. Our understanding of salvation is different. Metropolitan Anthony of Syros explains that we, as Christians who have trampled down death by death in our own lives, where we know that the most important thing in my life is my brother and my sister, who may be suffering, we dare to enter into the suffering and difficulty of others, those who are out there in the chaos. We don't stand on the shore and say, are you saved? We jump in. We become involved in the lives of others. Even if it's difficult for us. Even if we're not the kind of people who does that sort of thing naturally and easily. It is a responsibility of ours to try to bring people out of the chaos of the confusion of their own hearts and minds. Not because we are already saved, but because we are all together sharing a life where it is possible for us together with Christ, the saints, the apostles, the Theotokos, to trample down death by death. If we are faithful, if we are faithful, we have to be faithful to Christ. We have to take care that our passions are not guiding us, are not informing our words. We have to take care that the one that we believe in is the risen Christ, the one who is fully God and fully man, that we know death cannot destroy. We have to take care to be one with him, to be faithful by way of rejecting anything that is not something that he would be comfortable with and okay with. If we are living that kind of a life, emptying ourselves of ourselves, then we can go and enter into the chaos, the hell, the difficulty of another person's life, and call out along with them, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, save us. Because salvation is something that we have together. Never, never by ourselves. No one has ever been saved alone. Salvation is something that happens to those who have bound themselves to the risen Christ and maintained faithfulness with the risen Christ. And then they come to know him. Now, I may not have that kind of direct knowledge myself. In my own spiritual life, I am very weak. But it's not me just all by myself. As Orthodox Christians, we are never just all by ourselves. We have all of our other brothers and sisters in Christ. And those brothers and sisters in Christ include saints, include men and women who can speak words to us where we know that they have seen God. They have seen Christ. They have a knowledge of him that becomes shared with us. And when we hear it, we can recognize it. And so it's something that we share together, you see. It's not something that I have to have in isolation, because nobody ever has it in isolation. And this is what these two events, these two times when Christ came to the apostles, have to do with one another. First, he came to the apostles. Thomas wasn't there. He told them that they had the power to forgive sins so that no one would be lost, you see. From this common effort of all of us together, along with all of the apostles, all of the saints, so that no one would be lost. So that when someone misses the mark and sins, here is how they can enter back again into oneness with all of the rest of us. That's what it's for. That's the only thing it's for. It's certainly not for building us up as isolated individuals. And then the second time when he comes, Thomas touches him, knows him in a way that no Christian has ever known him before. The first time that anyone has said, this is God, my Lord Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and arisen, and it is still him, so that I can touch him. I believe. And Jesus says to him, blessed are you who have believed because you have seen me, touched me. And even more blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. Have believed what? Not in some miracle of resurrection that hasn't got anything to do with anything else. Those who have believed that I am who I am is what he means. That I am what St. Thomas has confessed me to be. God who has died and risen. The God, man who has died and risen. The man, God who has died and risen. That Jesus Christ, God himself, that can be touched and whose life we can share. And because that is the truth, new life is possible. New life is possible for that reason and for no other reason. Not because of ideas or doctrines or understandings, but because of the reality of the risen Christ, the one who is fully God and fully man, who establishes a communion with first his apostles and then sends the Holy Spirit, and the communion of those who are united to him in that life grows and spreads. And if we miss the mark of being members of that holy communion, then we come to confession and we return to that communion. That's what's going on. That's what's happening. That's the reality of the Christian life that we are told that we should live, that we can live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.